This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick at rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Morning, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of Florida Spectacular. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. It's a cloudy day, number two in Orlando. We've had so much rain. There's a little patch on my driveway leading up to my front door that's constantly...
iced over?
No, it's algae'd over. And there is stuff growing in the algae. That's how thick the algae is. So they're little plants. I think they're actually... blue curls, which are a native plant. And so I've got two levels of growth on the cement because it just rains constantly now. And it's, you know, there are several places that are just green and gunky and will stay that way until it stops raining in the fall. It's quite interesting.
Well,
it's always interesting in Florida.
It's nice that you have a science experiment.
It is. I think about this a lot. You know, I worked on the native plant show you did with Chad and years ago, and it, you know, trying to make a video for that. And he said some really profound things that influenced me about creating your habitat with your yard and looking at it that way. And what I enjoy about this time of year in my yard is that it is alive. My yard is a living thing. And some of my neighbors' yards and my friends' yards are sterile. You know, you go there and they're pretty. They look nice. But they're kind of like artwork where it's like you kind of curate this thing and then you just look at it. But my yard is alive and it's different every time I go outdoors. You know, it changes constantly and evolves. And that's one of the things I enjoy about it. And it's one of the things I enjoy about this time of year.
I really like this time of year. I know it's not everybody's favorite time of year, hurricanes, you know, the end of summer, but it's not the end of summer. I get that. But I like it. Fall's around the corner. I've got essential oil diffusers pumping out the coffee cake scents and the pumpkin spice. I'm ready. I like the rainy times. It makes me happy.
when I was in St. Augustine last week in Gainesville the day before, there was actually a little nip in the air, you know, because their cold front had gone through. And it's interesting too, the first day we got to Volana Beach, there was so much choppiness in the water. And the wind was blowing so hard that they had re-nursed that beach, which is something we've talked about in the past. And the next day, about a foot and a half of it, you could see there was like a little cliff where about a foot and a half of that Rainier's Beach had been washed back into the ocean. And cold fronts, yeah. And it's that whole Rainier's Beach. It's like, you know, what's the Greek god who rolls the boulder up the hill?
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus. It's the whole thing with Rainier's Beach. Because, you know, the ocean's going to take it back. You know, it's just going to take it back.
It's the ocean's job.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say they've done a better job of planting native habitat there, you know, to try and have a barrier between the shore and the man-made belt environment, which didn't used to be there. And that's, you know, I always love that because it's full of native plants and there's pollinators and railroad vine and sea grapes and all those wonderful seaside plants that can tolerate all the salt. And so I love seeing that, but they need more of it, or it's just going to, you know, what's going to happen is there's a big storm's going to roll through, they're going to lose their beach, and they're going to have to spend millions re-nourishing it again.
Well, they're going to spend millions re-nourishing it. That's what we do. Sisyphus with the rock.
Yeah.
So I have this great letter that I think would be a good subject for the podcast, but we did promise our listeners that we would give them a little guide to St. Augustine. So since you've just come back, can you give us maybe three things that you think we haven't touched on before that would be great for people to do as they go through St. Augustine?
Well, so I was there meeting friends. So for some reason, they wanted to go to the Fountain of Youth. And I must say, I Fountain of Youth splained to them the whole time.
You Florida splained. I'm so proud of you.
I Florida splained the whole time. It's like, you don't need that guide. I'll just do all the talking. But it's interesting to see that park evolve. I mean, it would probably drive you crazy because it's, you know, there are cringy things that are not completely accurate. And, you know, like the whole colonialism thing. They haven't quite come to terms with that, but they have evolved. Now it's more about Pedro Menendez and really more about the Timucuan village of Saloy, which they've done a lot with. And the thing that was, I think was my favorite change is they have this thing. It's like this big two-story globe that traces the voyages of the Spaniards across the Atlantic. But they have an introductory film that contextualizes it and says, you know, basically it says, you know, by today's standards, this is pretty meager. And if you're expecting kind of a Disney-like experience or epic universal kind of thing, you're going to be disappointed. But when this was built in the late 1950s, this was state of the art. And this was way ahead of its time. And, you know, the Smithsonian was impressed and all that kind of stuff. And they did such a good job of kind of framing your expectations in a good way that when it was revealed, I was like, wow, that is so cool. And so I'm always impressed with these, you know, it's basically a roadside attraction, how they've kind of made improvements on it. And every time there's a little bit more and it's a little bit different, and I'm never disappointed.
Well, okay. Fountain of Youth.
So the next thing is one of the things we do every time we go there is the San Marco Avenue, the area kind of between the religious shrine. What is it called? El Nombre.
The Catholic one?
Yeah. Nombre de Dios. And the fountain, not the Fountain of Youth, Ripley's Believe It or Not. There's this strip there that my wife and I love to go to. It's little antique stores and, you know, kind of touristy shops, but it's enough off the beaten track that there are stores that we return to again and again and again, because they're very well, I hate to use this word again, curated. And, you know, they're touristy, but they're also aimed at you know, it's not just cheesy t-shirts and kitschy stuff. There's plenty of that in the Fountain Eve gift shop that I love, but it's also kind of aimed at people who have condos. So there's, you know, there's art and there's crafts. There's a place called Duddington's that we always hit, and I always end up buying, I buy greeting cards and I use them as wall art. And when I get tired of looking at them, I mail them. Don't tell anybody. Because the graphics are so good. I'm a graphic designer. There's a couple of vintage stores that I love there. There's one that has kind of international things like 10,000 Villages that I love to go to. And there's one place, it's called, I knew I would blank out on the name. There's a place called Snakebird Vintage, but it's inside a larger place called Spencer Abbott's Bodega and Tap Room, which is kind of one of these repurposed spaces that has kind of a gift shop / little bodega with very expensive goods / place you can get beer and listen to live music. And it seems like the hipstery place in St. Augustine, where I imagine a lot of locals hang out. So I love going there. I wish the stuff was cheaper because there's a lot of cool things in there. A lot of, you know, Florida Man postcards and things like that. $10 stickers that have really good graphics, but I'm not paying 10 bucks for a sticker.
you're hardcore, man. Paying 10 bucks for a sticker. So
would you pay 10 bucks for a sticker?
It depends on the sticker.
Yeah, I guess.
So Duddington's, if I'm trying to picture where it is,
it's on the same side of the road as El Nombre de
Dios. Yes, and there's a bunch of stores on that strip, and this is not going to recommend St. Augustine, but there used to be a model shop in there that I swear to you had an unusual amount of World War II German memorabilia.
I think that's where Spencer Abbott's is now.
Oh, good.
That's gone. Yeah. So that's there is a
get what I'm saying there, right?
Yes. There's an antiquarian bookseller there that has, you know, I don't collect. You know, I'll buy an antique book if I find it at a thrift store and I know it's worth something, but I'm not paying, you know, $200 for a first edition yearling or something.
Especially when it's not that good of a book.
I am looking for Golden Apples. I'm looking for a copy of that book. I want to add that to my collection.
All right, listeners, you hear that? Rick needs the first edition of Golden Apples.
It's a great, there's a great depiction of, you know, it's kind of the Great Freeze. And, you know, I love that account about the devastation that it created. Because, you know, back then there used to be a ton of citrus up there in Marion and Alachua counties. And she does such a great job describing, and it's not one of her more beloved books, but it's, you know, and the character is not the best hero, the main character. Anyways, I digress. There's a whole lot of great shopping there.
There used to be a great coffee shop there. I don't know if it is. I haven't looked for it since 2018, maybe. There used to be a great coffee shop there that had two studio spaces in it, and you could sip your coffee and watch the artists paint. And I thought that was wonderful.
I think one of the things about St. Augustine is interesting. It is constantly changing and evolving. You know, the sad thing is if you fall in love with the place, it may not be there. You know, there was a two-story antique store we used to love to go to because we always found cool stuff and, you know, sometimes would rearrange everything in my car in order to make it fit. You know, we bought a tiki bar there once, but that's no longer there. And I wish it was. But, you know, it never disappoints. I think my biggest takeaway from this last trip was to go at a slow time. Normally we're there when they have their light festival on, you know, like between November and
February. Bananas.
It's crazy nuts. It was so dead there. We went to the Columbia, which never disappoints, never had a bad meal there in any of the Columbias. But I would say this Columbia in St. Augustine is my second favorite to the original in Ybor. Always good. But we walked out on St. George afterwards and there was nobody there. It was completely dead. And you never see that in St. Augustine. And it's just
it's
a great time.
It's the best week of the year to go anywhere in Florida. So if you're listening and you're planning a trip, Labor Day.
Yes.
There is a 7-day window where Florida is empty. Not that this is at all the same thing by St. Augustine, as I had some friends in town last weekend and we did take a day and go to Disney, and every single thing at Walt Disney World was walk on. Like,
that's incredible.
So that's the benchmark, right? Like, so if Disney's empty, you can go to pretty much any beach in Florida. You can go to any museum in Florida. You can go to, I don't know, any boat trip in Florida, and it's going to be beautifully empty and spacious. So this is a little Florida hack. Visit Florida the Tuesday after Labor Day through the Monday after Labor Day.
I think that's a great idea.
It's great. I mean, Columbia, I'm sure, was great.
Yes. And, you know, by the time we finished our dinner and walked out, it was like the restaurant was empty. And we had 7 o'clock reservations. So it was like 8:30. And there was hardly anybody in there, which was great. And the only time there were more than just a couple of people on the beach was first thing in the morning, there was a bunch of people watching sunrise. Other than that, the beach was pretty much dead. And again, that's such a wonderful thing. Sometimes I just don't enjoy the beach when it's crowded, honestly.
I don't either.
So
I hate it.
You know, that I should remember this and make sure I take this week off every year. You know, I think it's true probably of any tourist destination that when people's kids go back to school, the tourism kind of slows immediately. And then
eventually it's not crappy enough weather in Europe yet. People don't want to come over here. So, no, it's over. I mean, we talk every year about what we're going to do this week.
Really?
We're always talking about what we're going to do any week, to be very honest with you. I mean, right now I'm trying to figure out if I want to go to Lake Wales in November. So, anyway, good advice. We'll include those in the show notes. Speaking of coming to Florida, I got a really interesting letter from a listener, and I asked them if, rather than answering it in an email, if I could read it on the show, and he said we could. So you want to do that?
Yes. I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit. It's something that is definitely front of mind for me.
All right. So this is from Ron Carvalho. I'm sure I'm saying that name wrong. Thank you for your Florida Spectacular podcast. You do amazing work. Ron, we both thank you for that.
Woo-hoo!
I am soon to be a 54-year-old automobile mechanic from Somerset, Massachusetts. My daughter gave me a Spotify account when I was commuting to work at Bentley Boston several years ago, and that's how I came to know your good work and candid, straightforward demeanor. It's a very gracious take on me, Rick, I think.
Yeah, you get the candid award.
Usually when people use the word demeanor, they're referring to me in the podcast.
Okay.
I've been taking my family to Disney every year since 2003. Now that my daughter is nearly married and my son is shopping for a home of his own, my heart and my thoughts are increasingly filled with Florida. During the years, I've spent time in Sarasota and Cocoa Beach, and these areas are both very dear to me. Cocoa seems very quiet compared to Orlando, very true, and even Sarasota down to Naples. I love it. However, much of my online research and the general population here, and I assume he means Somerset, Mass., only served to scare and warn me about your lovely state. News of insurance disasters, HOA scams, low pay, crime, and general misery seem to emanate from the very mention of Florida. I think to myself, well, of course my family scares me because they don't want me to leave. It's all the rest of the negativity that really breaks my heart. I still pay for both my children's university loans, and my daughter's wedding is adding to the financial stress also. I have no real money put aside. My only dream of retirement has been just to live in the Sunshine State while I continue to work on cars. I love what I do, so I'm happy with that. I had to write to you in order to get an honest answer. What is the real Florida? There is good and bad everywhere. As with our nation's political infighting, I believe that the real truth lies somewhere in the middle. For example, if you and your husband came to the Boston area, you could very easily find lovely and even idyllic neighborhoods. Of course, there are also places where your spouse would dare not to let you out of his sight for a moment. Out of multiple fears and angst, my real question is, can one live in Florida without an HOA, without working weekends just to pay for insurance, and still earning enough money to continue to be able to visit and or help one's family from time to time? Whether I work for Bentley, Audi, Lamborghini, or Volkswagen, I would rely on an area with money. I have no remote work or big savings to bring with me. I would very likely have to commute to a bigger city. Though I would love to live where my only close neighbors are scrub jays, my industry demands that I be somewhat near the populace. Is any of what I described a possibility? If Florida's not for everyone, then I would rather stay in New England than to fail my family. I would be going alone. That is a bit scary. Losing everything and failing my family on top of that would be the one thing that is not worth this Florida dream. Could you share your honest and objective thoughts? What is the real Florida?
I would just like to thank that guy for his honest letter.
I mean,
because
honestly,
I feel like my heart has been tugged at a little bit because, you know, he would have to potentially, he would take a risk to move here, and it would sounds like it would be a sacrifice for him to move here. You know, what price you put on quality of life, and what are the most important things? It sounds like, according to him, his values are, you know, being able to help support his family. You know, he wants to continue to work. You know, how important is stuff? Because I do think, you know, those dealerships that he mentioned that he could work at, he could find those all in the Metro Orlando area. You know, he could find employment. I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm not an expert in the automobile repair industry. I don't know how the market is for that. The challenge would be to find housing that's affordable. He would probably have to go outside of town. So you're talking Seminole or Volusia County and make a commute on I-4 every day. And that's not high quality of life.
Right. So Ron, and anybody else who's listening, there is a saying in Orlando, Orlando is an hour from Orlando.
It's very
so
true.
It is. I have driven in Manhattan and I have driven in Orlando rush hour traffic, and I will take Manhattan. That is the only situation where I will take anything about New York over Florida. And the only reason is, in Manhattan, with very few exceptions, everyone is playing by the same traffic rules. In Orlando, we are not, if it was only Florida drivers, we'd be fine. But you are dealing with 50 states, at least one or two territories, and several other countries where people have come from, rented cars, and they all know how to drive better. So it's a little confusing. I would almost tell him to stay away from the central Florida area. You know, first of all, Sarasota, Naples might be a better choice. Sarasota is definitely going to have those dealerships. Naples is definitely going to have those, but you don't want to live in Naples. You want to live inland. So, I mean, so I would tell you, I would never, and I shouldn't say never because it always bites me in the butt when I do. I would not ever envision myself living in an HOA environment.
No, I couldn't because, well, I mean,
I don't have any turf grass.
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. My yard is just, you know, an HOA would not let me have the kind of yard I have. And I, you know, I'm not willing to do, you know, there's a report I just read about, you know, the likelihood of getting Parkinson's is like double for people who live on golf courses because of all the crap they spray on the golf courses. I'm never going to put that kind of stuff on my yard in the earth. And to have an HOA kind of yard, you have to put all that crap on your yard. I'm just not going to do it. I refuse to have that kind of environmental footprint where I live. And, you know, the other thing
is, are the big scam perpetuated on America, honestly. Yeah.
I mean, you can, and but that doesn't mean you can't be a homeowner. You know, the insurance, homeowners insurance is a problem. I imagine it's pretty high down in Southwest Florida. The Space Coast is another one. I'm not sure they would have all those high-end dealerships. It's probably someplace Melbourne on the Space Coast does. My brother was able to find an affordable home in Melbourne. He has a very nice quality of life. It's a nice home. He has neighbors that they have a very good community where they look out for each other, but it's not near the beach. You know, it's closer to 95 than it is the beach. But, you know, politically, you know, Brevard County is very, very red. I guess his kids are all in college, so he doesn't have to worry about the schools. I don't think the schools are very good there. But, you know, you're close to the beach. And
I mean, it's there's Brevard County. There's Palm Beach County, which I would not want to live in Palm Beach County. But there are some areas not so far. Palm Beach County has a Lamborghini dealership, which is what I'm thinking of.
Oh.
So I'm looking at, you know, and I also don't know, which I freely don't know, and you, Ron, would know much better than we do, insofar as does it matter if there's a union? Because I don't know what the UAW, I don't know if that applies to repair. I don't know if it's a union situation, because remember, Florida is not historically a friend to unions.
No. About Jacksonville? Jacksonville may, and I don't know. Jacksonville's so damn big. I imagine the traffic's pretty sucky there too.
I mean, I could see a situation where if you didn't mind the commute, maybe the Stewart area of Florida would be really nice. You know, it's so if you're going to move to Florida and you're concerned about HOAs, I'll tell you right now, don't live somewhere where there's an HOA. You're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
But if you're going to, if you're concerned about insurance, there's a lot of things. A lot of things that are really simple to do that makes your insurance not a nightmare. Concrete block home, age of the roof, elevation. I mean, those are the concrete roof, elevation. Those are the three things. Don't move to the beach. Don't buy a beautiful wood frame house on the sand. You know, there's definitely the probability that every Floridian is going to be impacted by a storm. But I mean, there are places I think that are still affordable. It's just, you're not going to live on the beach. You're not going to live by downtown Sarasota. Just find a dealership and start looking around. I mean, I think really what we're telling you, Ron, is you need to vacation in Florida a few more times to make the decision and come with a critical eye.
And maybe go off the beaten path too.
You know, I mean, I think the Fernandina, where our producer Chad lives, that area is beautiful. But I don't know how close it is to anything with...
It'd be a long drive into Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is a mess. But I mean, who's used to dealing with Boston, right? Isn't
Somerset that's true.
Boston? So maybe we're just being too laid back about it.
I mean, I do think, you know, I like what he said about Boston. You know, some neighborhoods are nice and some have crime. I mean, I think that's true of Orlando. You know, I don't like it's crime is not something I think about on a daily basis. I'm like, oh, I can't go there because of crime. But I, you know, I go downtown quite a bit because one of my clients is there. And I can tell you this, downtown Orlando is different after the pandemic than it was before.
How do you mean that?
Because a lot of the commercial office space that was occupied before the pandemic is not occupied anymore, and so the vibe has shifted. To me, this is subjective, it just feels different to me. And part of it is too, I'm old now. You know, I used to.
You're my age, Rick. We're not old.
I'm 60. You know, I used to when
okay,
I.
Okay, you're younger than my husband.
When I was younger, you know, I felt like I owned downtown, and I the crime existed, but I never felt scared. I had one friend who got the crap beat out of him, and very seriously, but it was an aberration. Like, I don't know any other instance of any violent crime that happened to anybody there. But there are, you know, I expect when I go downtown now, you know, to have to avoid a couple people who have mental issues who will be muttering to themselves and, you know, not so much panhandling, but just people who are the unhoused, who, is that the right way, or unhomed?
And, unhoused, yes.
You know, obviously have mental illness because they're, you know, not on a cell phone and they're talking to themselves or screaming or yelling or cussing in some instances. And, you know, in the couple of blocks I had to walk to get to where my client is, I pretty much experienced that almost every time. And that's a thing. But do I not go downtown? I still go downtown. I still like downtown. I still love the instances of historic architecture that are there. I still like to go to businesses there. There's a gallery that has an opening once a month that I like to go to. I will go there at night. I won't go there at midnight or 2 a.m. Nothing good happens after midnight.
Well, that's anywhere.
Yeah, that's
nothing
anywhere.
Good happens after midnight. I mean, unless it's me sitting up writing with a glass of something very delicious, there's nothing good that happens.
But I think that's probably, you know, the case of a large... You know, a lot of the larger cities in Florida. I don't think it's any different anywhere, honestly.
I don't either. I think that reports of our whatever have been greatly exaggerated. How about that? You know, I would say even the people you describe with some mental health issues, I don't find there, because we have some people who, oddly enough, during and immediately after the pandemic, have taken up spending a lot of time in Gulfport, which is this little postage stamp on the water. And even those people, I don't see them as dangerous.
No, I don't think you just don't, you know, I just kind of avoid them. You know, I there's a side of me that I always hate it when I get approached for money, because there's a side of me that wants to help them and a side of me that says, run, you know, don't interact with them. Don't look them directly in the eye. And, I'm always in conflict when that happens. So I think part of me just avoiding them is I don't want to have that internal conflict. You know, I do think, you know, it's a problem for Orlando with the unhoused, because they wanted to build this big homeless shelter. And out of nowhere, this whole NIMBY movement rose up that I didn't know existed in Orlando. And they forced them to back down. You know, they had the property. They had been working on these plans for a number of years. And the NIMBY movement got so strong that they had to change their plans, which is very, very disappointed. You know, Orlando is a liberal town and is disappointed that something like that would happen. But it did. You know,
sometimes people don't really understand what they're saying. We're having an issue right now where we have one road essentially in our downtown that fronts the beach, and there's a beach parking lot. And of course we have bathrooms and some outdoor showers there. And it's got our city council pretty evenly divided, because some of the people there have said they do not want those people sleeping in their cars there. And I got to hand it to our chief of police. She was really incredible, because she had, you know, they all have to go to every city council. And, I guess one of the elected officials was pushing for it. I'm not going to name names. You know, there's people we believe to be living in their cars. And one of the council members said, well, they're happy campers. You know, I don't know if that was meant to be whatever. And the chief of police, I guess one of the elected officials, was pushing her to do something. And the chief said, well, we can't give them warnings for made up ordinances. And then she said, you commented, Mayor, that people are choosing to live this way. I don't know that you can paint everyone with a broad brush like that. And she was talking about the people living in their cars. I mean, I think this gets off on a little bit of a tangent as to what we're talking about in Florida, but we're seeing an uptick everywhere. I don't believe just in Florida, in people who do not have a permanent home. And yeah, they maybe are living in their cars, and it may not feel like a choice to a lot of people. So certainly there's going to be a lot of that in the media. Certainly everything seems to get exaggerated when you put Florida behind it. I liken it to like a boat. When you own a boat and you need to buy something, it's a joke that if the word marine is in front of what you need to buy, you can triple the price. And I feel like with the news headline, if the word Florida is in front of it, you can triple how much it's exaggerated. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was worried I lost you there.
And you know, historically, Florida has always had an influx of people who come in the winter. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, your picture just went away and my picture went away.
Your picture went away, so I thought that's what we were doing this week. Sorry, I'm back.
Okay. Anyways, historically, there's always been an influx of people who come in the winter, you know, who are unhoused,
it's
you know.
It's safer to have
migratory.
To sleep outside when you're not going to freeze to death.
Yeah. And historically, those populations have always diminished in summer. I don't know if that's still the case. You know, it's one of those things, again, like any big city, I think you have to deal with that. There's pros and cons. I mean, my big thing that I wrestle with right now in Florida is, you know, what I see going on politically just distresses me that, you know, the whole alligator Alcatraz thing. And, you know, we've had this big battle about rainbow sidewalks in Orlando. You know, there's a big rainbow sidewalk in front of the Pulse where Pulse tragedy happened. And, you know, the state, that was the first one they painted over. And, you know, so people come back and they recreate it with chalk, and every night they pressure wash it and get rid of it. And it's like, what's the harm? You know, it's strictly a political move. And I'm just, you know, it's just really hard to be here right now.
It is. So, but let's flip that. Let's flip it for people who are thinking about coming here. They're pressure washing it every night, and the next day people come back and do it again.
True.
So
that's true.
There's a lot of good here, and I am, I'm on Threads. I can warn you, if you follow me on Threads, it's going to get political. That's the one place where I tend to get a little more political than on my other social media. And there are a lot of people on Threads saying, hey, I live in Florida and I'm not a MAGA person. I am a blue dot. I want to connect with other people who feel that way. And you know, I think a lot of it is, I hate to blame the media because I am the media, but I think a lot of it is the media aggrandizing some of these things. And I think that it's having a bad effect. It's painting us all as horrible people who don't care about human lives. And it's scaring people away. I mean, I would not be scared to move to Florida, but I am clearly not representative. Look at the name of the podcast. Look at the name, you know, Florida Splaining, the Florida Spectacular. Yay, Florida. I mean, clearly I'm biased, but I'm biased for a reason. I think there's a lot of good here. And I think the more we can attract a lot more good people here, the better the state will be. And I don't think anything that our letter writer mentions is insurmountable. I don't think... you know, there's lots of people who live here who can afford the insurance. There's lots of people who live here who don't worry about HOAs. And I also just want to say, if you're looking at selling a house in Massachusetts and moving to Florida, I think you're going to be amazed at the buying power you have.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things that attracts people, you know, one, there's the, you know, this whole myth of reinventing yourself in Florida that's been, you know.
No, you're going to, just so you know, you're going to be the same person in Florida you were in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but.
You're just going to be in shorts.
And yeah, exactly. You're going to be outdoors more. And, you know, you're going to have opportunities to be in nature that, depending on where you live. The other thing is no state income taxes. You know, that is one of the things that attracts people to Florida historically. That's why people like Tiger Woods and gazillionaires, you know, that's probably why Donald Trump is here, because he doesn't have to pay state income taxes. You know, it's been a huge attraction. But what you said about the media, the other thing is our governor is trying to encourage a certain type of people to move here. He's trying to encourage people that are aligned with him politically and discourage people who aren't aligned with him politically by, you know, some of the things that he's doing. And this is an example of that. The irony of it is, you know, shortly, I always love the historical threads that you can find that right after the Civil War, you know, the roles were reversed, where, you know, the Republicans were the progressives then. And there was all these progressive people centered around Northeast Florida who wanted to exert control politically over the former slave states. So they really hyped up the immigration and tried to get people, like-minded individuals who were then progressive, you know, former abolitionists, to move to Florida. And so here you are, you know, what is it, 150 years later, seeing the same thing, but the no longer is the Republican Party the progressive party, it's the conservative party. And they're, you know, the same thing is happening, where the governor is like, you know, we want like-minded people to move here. And if you're not like-minded, you know, don't come to the free state of Florida. And so that's part of my belief anyways, part of the narrative that's getting out there in the media.
But it's just a narrative. It's not necessarily the truth.
Yes. I, you know, perhaps maybe my intake of the media is too much, and it is refreshing. You know, I hearken back to the young lady with the Florida Folk History Facebook,
yes, or, a couple weeks
Instagram,
ago.
And her positivity and her belief in young people and how that there's a movement arising. You know, I hope that's true, because it's hard. You know, it requires a certain amount of faith in our fellow Floridians. And, you know, I've been involved with the environmental struggles, and it's just so hard sometimes, because it feels like, you know, one step forward and two steps back. You know, the bear hunt is another example of, you know, there's good examples, like, you know, how we were able to repulse all the development in the state parks. That was a win. But the bear hunt is a big loss, you know, that people are going to come shoot, you know, defenseless bears. I don't think we have a bear problem, but again, it became political.
Everything's political.
Everything's political in this day and age.
But I shouldn't discourage you from moving here. I hate to say that. There's a lot of good in Florida. I'm leaning towards telling this guy, you should probably move here with more research. And I don't want to make somebody, you know, fail his family, but I would tell you that if you're really thinking about moving to Florida, and you have these, because it is a really well thought out question, Ron.
Yes.
He did a great job. I would tell you, I would come make a few trips to a few different areas, visit, get a Home Two Suites hotel down somewhere between Sarasota and Naples, look at Port Charlotte, and just spend a few days driving around there, and then come down to the Cocoa area and take a look and talk to people. I mean, you can't get it off the news headlines. You have to find an area that speaks to you and drive around, go to the local coffee shops, talk to the people who work there. And, you know, it's the only way to do it. And the other thing I always tell people about moving to Florida, rent for a year. Do not just find.
Yeah.
Do not just find your. Do not just find your piece of paradise and move here. Rent here, because we bought our house here and we knew the kitchen was a shambles. And Barry said to me, you want to just redo the, you want to start with the kitchen? I'm like, no, I want to live in it for a year. It worked. You learn more in that year. So that would be my advice, is come down, rent.
I think about the different neighborhoods I lived in Orlando when I lived in apartments when I first moved here. And, you know, it was really not till my third apartment, which was kind of in College Park, that I found a place in Orlando that I liked. You know, the first one was not a good location off of Kirkman Road. Didn't enjoy living there at all. Then the second one was worse off of Orange Blossom Trail. And then I moved to College Park. And, you know, that's the thing. I think, like, in Orlando, there are certain areas where you will have a better quality of life than other. And you know, I think that's the same. And the other thing I want to say is I encourage our letter writer to try different parts of Florida, not just the Southwest Florida and the Space Coast and Central Florida. You know, there are so many different areas in Florida, and they're all different. You know, South Florida, when I'm talking primarily, you know, Southeast Florida, is completely different than the rest of the state. You know, Southwest Florida is different. Central Florida is different. North Central Florida is different. North Florida is different. And the Panhandle is different. You know, they're all different.
If there was a Lamborghini or an Audi dealership somewhere in North, in the Panhandle, that'd be the place, man. I mean, it's brick red, but it's not the type of red where they're Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. It's brick red because people are really scared that they're being left behind. It's not what you think, and there's some great spots.
There's still a lot of wild
land there. Open spaces.
And the beaches are the best. And yeah, I mean, honestly, North Florida is better. You know, we have a lot of discussions about moving back to Gainesville because I love Gainesville so much. And, you know, they're working very hard to preserve a lot of the wild spaces up there. And there are sections of Gainesville that are essentially the same from when I left 35, 40 years ago, where you could probably find a reasonable home, reasonably priced home. I just don't know about, I know there are automobile dealerships. I don't know if they have that many high-end ones. You know, there has been a lot of growth in Gainesville, and, you know, there is efforts by our governor to kind of keep them under his thumb because, you know, there are, you know, in terms of everything being political, the liberal hot spots in Florida are Orlando, Gainesville, some parts of Tallahassee. I don't know. Would you include St. Pete?
St. Pete, yes. And Key West, but not the Florida Keys.
No, interesting.
It's this weird thing that it's all Trump all the time. And the minute you cross over the Cal Key Channel Bridge, it's like, woohoo. It's a very interesting dichotomy. And that's also, I want to encourage, I know this is probably screaming into the void or into the ether or whatever. Please don't paint everything on our state with red and blue.
That's a good point.
It's easy to say when you come from a place of privilege, as do I, that nobody votes for Trump who isn't a racist, or nobody votes for Trump who isn't a pedophile, or whatever you want to say. But the reality is there are a lot of really good people who live here who have maybe been misinformed or maybe have more pressing needs in Maslow's hierarchy of needs than worrying about other people surviving, and they feel like the left has left them behind. So I know not everybody's going to agree with me on that. I'm sure there are nuances. I would just encourage everybody, don't write off Florida because you think there's Trump voters here. There are Trump voters here, but you know they're not on Epstein's list, other than maybe one of them. you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a very complex, nuanced issue down here. And you have to really understand how many different Floridas there are in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
The liberal Florida of Orlando and the liberal Florida of St. Petersburg, their goals are probably not that different than the very red parts of Clearwater. It's just that they see a different path to getting there. And there are different priorities because they have different needs that they want met. Not all of them. Some of them are just like on both sides. Some of them are assholes. I can think of three Trump supporters and three Kamala Harris supporters who are all assholes and don't really understand what they believe. But for each of those three people, I can think of nine others who really believe this is what's best for their family. And it's not stepping on the backs of other people. And now I've just alienated all of our listeners in one fell swoop. So that's been great.
Well, you kind of snuck our catchphrase in there that it's complicated. You know, it's almost difficult to say Florida as a thing right now because it is just such a complicated thing. You know, you can't say Florida is one thing because it's not. It's so many different things, and there's so many different flavors to Florida. You know, it's like a potpourri or a not a melting pot, but there's just, you know, it's like the whole palette. It's not just one color, and it's so different. You know, when I go to a different place in Florida, when I go over to where you live in Tampa and St. Pete, it just feels different. You know, it's just a completely different vibe. When I go to Cedar Key, when I go to Gainesville, it feels different. For me, you know, it's so funny because as my father was getting older, there was something that drew him to his home, and he always wanted to go back to where he came from in the mountains of Georgia. And the older I get, the more I enjoy time in North Central Florida and St. Augustine and Gainesville. There's something about, perhaps in my DNA, that just feels at home there, you know? And it's 2 hours away from where I live in Central Florida, but it's something about the landscape, the environment feels, there's a familiarity to it that puts me at ease. And it's a different Florida. And, you know, I think you can find that. But I also think you can find good and bad everywhere you go. And the Florida's a great example of that.
So that's so interesting to me because I lived in New York until I was 7. Mm-hmm. And going home there, absolutely no, I feel no pull to that. Lived in Clearwater other than college until I was 30. And Clearwater doesn't feel like Clearwater anymore. Clearwater has become a suburban health. It's a suburban hellscape.
Yeah, that's one place I would not suggest moving to.
But I mean, it's my mom's very happy there, but not probably because of Clearwater. It's just been there forever. But when I first moved to Gulfport, I was 30, going through a divorce, didn't quit my job because, you know, why keep any sense of stability? Let's blow it all up at once. And I found myself with some free time. So I would ride my bike just around the neighborhoods. And I would ride my bike around the neighborhood. And I remember thinking, this reminds me so much of riding my bike through my neighborhood in Clearwater when I was a kid. And there's this phenomenon. Barry, my husband, grew up in Port Jefferson in Long Island. And we were renting on the beach. And when we decided we were going to buy a house, we were not going to move to Gulfport. I had lived in Gulfport. I had owned a home in Gulfport. When Barry and I moved in together, we moved into a rental on the beach. And when we were looking, he initially said, I don't think Gulfport would really have anything that I would want. I'm like, okay, well, as long as we're close enough for me to work there, I don't care. And I remember vividly, it was New Year's Day, and I had been sent to get a picture for the paper of people on the beach on New Year's Day. And he's like, we'll go with you. We'll go get lunch after. And he sat down on a bench on the beach, the glider swings, like the rocking swings. Like, anyway. Yeah. And when I was done, he said, you know, I think maybe I'd like to look at some houses here. And I said, well, what changed your mind? He says, it reminds me of where I grew up. There is a woman who owns an Italian restaurant who grew up in Germany, who chose Gulfport because it reminds her of where she grew up. This is a recurring theme in this city. People used to move here because it reminded them of this happy, elusive moment in their life. And I think that's a really good reason to move anywhere in Florida, is to find your place that speaks to you.
Yeah.
So that would be my advice. That's what I'm going to close with.
It's funny because, you know, we have, what you said not to have, a wood frame house, and we have giant oak trees that.
And you're on the water.
On top. Well, you know, teeny little bit of water, but you know, the wind does crank up over it. But there are people who will, like, repair people, like plumbers and electricians, who, when you have a house this old, are at your house a lot. A lot of them will come in and it's like, oh, I love your house. This reminds me of the house I used to, you know, see up north. You know, that a lot of people associate Florida with stucco homes, you know, and Mediterranean revival and palm trees and all that stuff. But there are a lot of places, and St. Pete has a great example, where there's these 1920s bungalows, and which is what I live in, that appeal to a lot of people because that's what they grew up with when they lived in the north. And I didn't live in the north, but I don't know. I like old things. You know, that's my thing. I love being able to walk around the neighborhood and see old things and see historic homes and walk down brick streets and, you know, shady live oaks. But I can't tell you how recharged I was waking up at the beach and walking on the beach every single morning. And, you know, just having, maybe it's because it's such a different environment for me, because I don't go to the beach that often, but it just recharged my batteries so much. And it's a different Florida, you know?
I get it.
So come find your Florida, I guess, is the advice. Come
find your Florida. That's our entreaty to you, Ron. Thank you for your letter. Thank you for giving us a whole podcast to talk about this. And
it's
I
like
hope
therapy,
you
I
let
think,
us know
for
what
me.
You decide. It is. This is all very therapeutic. This has been wonderful. So
yeah. And it's interesting because you are, I feel like you're more positive about Florida than I am these days.
Well, yes, but I am very, very jaded on the idea of democracy. So I'm more positive about Florida, very trepidatious about the fate of the nation. So, you know, it's good that we balance each other.
All right.
All right. So send us your questions. Before we go, it is time for us to thank our listeners. We got a new listener this week.
All right.
Yes, it's very exciting. And they're going to get, I forget what I promised them, but they're going to get that thing.
They're going to get that thing. Look, keep watching your mail for that thing.
And that
You'll
would
know
be
when
Bill,
it gets there.
Bill Grable has subscribed. So he's going to get that new thing. So we want to thank all of our listeners, not just Bill Grable, the newest, Stephanie Hewley, Brad Sager, Brian Woodall, Bet's Boys Adventure, Elsie Smith, Carol Miller, Leslie Hallweg, Davita Breyer, Natalie Zachrick, Angela Connolly, John Bowne, Ryan Worthington, and of course, Sulcata Grove. Thank you for supporting us. And we will see you next time on the Florida Spectacular. Enjoy your Florida.
Find your Florida.